I was preparing for the show, so I just did the show last Thursday, so about 4 days ago. I've never done a show before, and I was thinking, how the fuck am I going to do that? I've never done that. So I was rehearsing, and I was rehearsing the words that would come out my mouth, and at the same time, I was trying to rehearse the feelings that I'd encounter as I went through each moment, like the feeling of just before it, the feeling a day before it, the feeling of the moment, just my feet, footsteps walking to the microphone in front of an audience, then the first word that I would say, how I'd feel about that. It was like dividing life into seconds and almost rehearsing each second. It's kind of painful. It's dumb. It's stupid, precious to even call it painful. But I was rehearsing the emotions in my gut, how I'd feel about doing all that sort of shit. But I was also rehearsing the words that would come out my mouth. And I noticed just before I went on, I was panicking. I was freaking out, going, what have I got myself into? I felt like I was about to leap off a cliff. Even an hour or two before that, I was putting on my clothes. I was thinking, this is the last pair of underpants I'm ever going to wear. This is the last t-shirt I'm ever going to wear. I felt like I was walking to the electric chair and then life was ending. And so it was about an hour, 30 minutes before it, I sat outside the venue just by the train tracks, and I thought, I can't even remember my first line, the first sentence, because I thought, if I can remember my first sentence, everything will flow from that. It'd make an indent, just fill the room with the sound of my voice like a balloon, and all of a sudden I'd feel comfortable. I'd feel like I was present with me somehow in a weird, strange, dissociative kind of way, just to fill my presence with myself, to remind myself that I was there with myself. It's kind of weird and strange thing to say, but I was thinking, if I can remember that first sentence, I'm going to be okay. But I couldn't remember that first sentence. I was like, oh my God. I'd practiced it probably 70 to 100 times, that the first 15 minutes of my little ramble. And I couldn't even remember the first sentence of it. And I was going, I know what I'll do. I'll crosswire the rehearsing the emotions in my gut with the rehearsing them, the stuff that was going to come out my mouth, and I was going to say whatever I was feeling at the time, not in a self-indulgent way, but just say whatever's, be in the room, be present, say whatever's on my mind, and then slowly steer myself back onto the train tracks of all the rehearsed mouth noises that I'd planned up about 100 times or whatever. And it worked. I was just saying any old shit, and all of a sudden my ears heard that my mouth was present, and all of a sudden I felt present, and all of a sudden I was remembering the lines that I was supposed to say. And by distracting myself from, like, hyper focusing on what I was supposed to remember, I peripherally was able to grab it, in the same way that you can't see something in the dark by looking directly at it. You have to look at it from the side of your vision. And the show went well. Like, for me, a first go for 1 hour, I felt like I absolutely nailed maybe 10 to 15 minutes of it, and probably the other 45 minutes, the other three quarters of it. There were moments where I thought, yeah, that's okay, but there were also some flat moments. I felt like I could hear almost another voice in the back of my head talking to me while I was fronting to an audience. It felt like I was assessing and monitoring and recorrecting constantly, like a tightrope walker. I'm going to guess that even recording these podcasts sort of helped me out. Doing this podcast for almost 2 years massively helped to be able just to talk a little bit of shit, because this is what these podcasts are. They're basically saying whatever's on my mind during the week that I just collect in the back of my head and then just let it out into my little mobile phone. I'm sitting out in the back garden today doing that. But yeah, it was It was about letting the feelings out, or letting the real stuff out first, that were in the way of my prepared stuff. And that's what like unconstipated my memory, and I was able to access it. I think I swore too much during the show. I reckon it's a bit of an amateur move, but what I discovered, I realized later why I probably swore too much. It was because by swearing, it brought me 1 second to access my memory to remember the next line. And that's something I'm going to have to work on, just cut back on the swearing, because it can be effective, but I was swearing too much. But overall, I felt like a realness came through. There was something that was unexpected. I didn't know what or who would turn up on stage that night, and it's a Darby that I'd never met before. I've met him in bits and pieces and dribs and drabs, but I was surprised. Like I totally surprised myself. I was surprised how weirdly comfortable I got after about 20-30 minutes in. I thought, oh, this is just too easy. I was starting to make up shit, and some of the audience loved it, the shit that I was just making up. And I was making up stuff that absolutely fell flat. And I kept going back and circling around to the stuff that I'd just made up, almost trying to milk it again, and realizing, no, don't do that. It's kind of disrespectful to the audience. They heard it once. You don't have to try and recreate that weird spontaneous bullshit that you just did 10 minutes before. My brother, who's my harshest critic, he said I'd nailed the first 15 minutes of the show, and then I started to get sluggish and sloppy. And that's, for me, it was probably weirdly, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, pre-show Darby would not believe that I'm saying this, it was probably because the last three quarters to half of it, I actually got weirdly comfortable. It was like, okay, this is the most terrifying thing I've ever done, and all of a sudden I just got comfortable in it, and that was weird, and it kind of shocked me. But the more comfortable I got, I guess somehow it's almost like something in me turned off and thought, oh, I can just wing this now. And even though I had all this pre-prepared material, part of me, some kind of weird part of me, wanted to start ad-libbing almost a lot of it. And I was going, no, just get back onto the poems. I regret not reading as many of my funnier poems. Like, I'd saved a lot of my funny stuff to near the end, and I had to skip them. I had to skip about two-thirds of the material in the end, I realised. So I'd over-prepared for it, and so I'd overcooked it in some ways. And so to do another one, which it looks like I will, I'm going to have to cut out so much of the stuff that I thought I could feel was just a flatness, and retain the other stuff where I could feel like, holy shit, this is weird. It's like everyone's... Maybe there was two or three moments in the entire show where I felt like, holy shit, I've got the audience in the palm of my hand. This feels wrong, but so good. It felt really good. But it was maybe probably about 10 minutes where that I could feel that over the 60 minutes. And that was a weird, trippy feeling. Yeah, it looks like from here I'm going to start working on cutting out a lot of the fat from it, keep a whole bunch of my really strong stuff that I missed out on reading. Some of it I was like, ah, damn it, I didn't get to read it. I'll share with you something that I wrote to an old boss when I worked in advertising for 2 years. He wrote that massive campaign called Dumb Ways to Die for Metro Trains. There's a jingle that went viral worldwide. It's up to like maybe 500 million views or something on YouTube now. But John Mescal wrote Dumb Ways to Die, and I wrote to him because I loved his public talking. He used to do, in the year and a bit that I worked at his agency 10 or more years ago, 15 years ago maybe, it was 2010 or some shit, he used to give these speeches, and for me they were more interesting, more funnier, more beautiful than a lot of some of the most famous comedians in the world. more insightful, but he wrote me this, so I'm going to read it. He said, "Public speaking, I don't know. I've never had a real problem with it, but I definitely get more anxious the higher the perceived stakes are. The more importance I attach to the outcome, the more anxious I get. I don't have a fear of speaking in public, but I do have a fear of fucking up. The best advice I got was to understand that the audience who have come to actually see you are in no way judging you. They're not watching and waiting to pounce on any mistake you make. They're there with goodwill, so you can relax. Also, perfection is bullshit. The best public speakers show their humanity, which means weird pauses, the odd stumble, the occasional misspoken word. Two things about this. The audience actually doesn't know what you intend to say and how you intend to say it. So there's no such thing as fucking up. They don't know you fucked up. It's all in your own head, so don't worry about it. And second, you're a poet and an artist. If you just lose yourself in your words and what they mean, however you present this is going to be perfect. Talk to the universe. Talk to the old man across the road from the venue selling his kebabs. Talk to the dead. Talk to yourself. I guess that's what you're promising anyway. Just be exactly who you are and you'll be great." So he sent me that. It was so generous of him. It was a mate. Like, I put that in my document right up the top and read that over and over again to try and brainwash myself with that little bit of encouragement. Yeah, he's now in the US. He was working at, like, he was head of McCann Erickson or whatever for the last 10 years. I think he just quit. But he is the best speaker or most interesting, yeah, talker that I'd ever heard in my life. But I wrote down a lot of other advice that I accumulated over the last few months before the show. And there was one bit of advice that I found from Louis C.K. He says, "Say stuff and don't nervously laugh after it. Be like, that's what I said. I don't give a fuck. I really mean it." I love that. I love the idea of not nervously laughing, which is what I can do. When I'm in a normal group situation, I just nervously laugh at shit sometimes, or often. And I found myself, I didn't do that on stage, so I shocked myself with just not doing that shit. Another bit of advice he said was, if people applaud, stay in the moment, wear the face expression that says what you were just saying. And Bill Burr says, there's the guy who steps off the bus and they're the guy at 23 and the rest of us who make it in our 40s. Bill Burr. There's another one. This is from Tiger Belly Clips I found on YouTube. Improvise for as long as you can without relying on material so you can be in the room. This one from Ralphie May, who's an American comedian. Pause before punchlines. This is one from Ron Wyatt. He says, of course I don't remember who said it, but one of the old comics said, when you're doing bad, slow down. When you're doing good, slow down. And he says, so you have to do it slow. The worst thing that can happen is you can start rushing your pace as a comic. That's Ron Wyatt. So I'm not a comic, but I know that some of my stuff is funny. A lot of my stuff is a little bit, it's not quite poetry, it's not quite comedy. But all these bits and pieces of advice. Oh, this is another one from Miles Davis. When you hit a wrong note, it's the next note that makes it good or bad. Or the actor or the character from Lost, John Locke, who I loved. Everything he did, he moved slowly. And I've always loved that, how slow he moved. I remember I'm rewatching Lost at the moment. And for me, that it calms me down. It's like, and I noticed Bukowski, when he does live readings, he was just pausing constantly. And so I was just thinking, I've got to be, just chill out, relax, don't go fast. And for me, I managed to do that. Like, I managed just to sometimes just stop and just take shit in. And not cling to the material that I'd rehearsed. I managed to do that really well, but almost to the point where I didn't get to present everything, which kind of sucked. Like, I'd taken this go slow thing probably, and too much improvisation, probably too literally. Like, it helped because I felt like I was present and I was in the room, but also I didn't get to deliver some of my what I consider is some of my funniest stuff and some of the most viral videos as well. I didn't get to recreate. It's like, bummer. But so I guess I'm going to work out what I can cut. And so I can have those spoken word version of those videos in my next one. For me, overall, the show went really well, as far as I'm concerned. As for a first go, I was like, oh my god, I exceeded my expectations. But I know as something that people pay for, it has to be probably, I can improve on it shitloads. I know that, like, just doing one show, I've learned so much. I know that I can make it automatically three times better just from the lesson of having done it once. That was the steepest learning curve, and you're doing it in real time on fucking stage. I did have some wine. I had some glasses of wine before it just to chill out a bit, and some wine on stage. I thought that maybe I cheated the experience just slightly, but that's something that would be probably better. I'd be better if I just maybe just try to do that without it next time. I'll see. But yeah, it was a crazy experience. It was the weirdest experience I've ever had in my life, and I'm still debriefing from it four days later, going, what the fuck happened? Who was that guy that was on stage? It was like I was an audience in the back of my head watching it, going, wondering what I was going to do next. It was fucking weird. And I have to add, at the end of this, the first time I ever did a public talk was when I was 19 at uni, and halfway through it, I got so anxious I walked out of it and said, sorry, I can't do this. And I vowed to myself that day I'd never ever do a public talk again. So yeah, I know it's 30 years later and a lot of life's passed, and I've learned to sort of fake extroversion. It's still real, but it just takes shitloads out of me when I do it. So I'm still recovering 4 days later from intense stage extroversion. But it was so fun. Like, it's fun in hindsight. And the last 30 minutes on stage, I was like, this is amazing. I can't believe this is happening and I'm doing it, and I'm actually comfortable at one point. Perhaps too comfortable. Next time I'll stick an iron rod into me to stop swearing so much and less ramble, more poems. Keep the rambles, Darby. Now I'm talking to myself. Keep the vibe. I had good vibe, but more poems. If you like this podcast, I'd love if you left a review for it on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to it. Ta.